Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's Wednesday, the eve of the NFL draft, and I'm going to share my mock draft for you for the Pittsburgh Steelers. On today's episode of Believe in Steelers, I'll also go through top quarterbacks, wide receivers, cornerbacks, and safeties. Welcome into the Believe in Steelers show. My name is Mark Bergen. Today's episode of Believe in Steelers is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. If you want to place a bet on any of the draft action, any of the NBA or NHL playoffs, BetOnline.ag is the place to do it. Use our promo code BELIEVE. You can see that on your screen right now. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thursday night, round one of the NFL draft. Steelers with the 20th overall pick. Let's get right to my mock draft. I'm going to share two with you, one involving no trades and one involving trades. You get a little bit more value. So let's start with the mock draft that I have without any trades whatsoever. And at 20, if the Steelers stay there, I think Graham Barton's going to be the guy. Now, it depends on what players could potentially fall to the Steelers at 20. If there's a really good tackle there, and you know what you got with Broderick Jones, and you know Dan Moore Jr. is entering the final year of his deal, from a value standpoint, it might make more sense to go offensive tackle. But for the time being, the Steelers need a center. There's not one on the roster right now. Graham Barton out of Duke is my pick here. I really like what I see on tape. He played left tackle at Duke, but he's able to get to the second and third level of defenses, able to dominate the line of scrimmage, and Duke had a lot of success running the football with him up front. Barton played center earlier on in his career at Duke, so it's something he's demonstrated the ability to do. But if the Steelers remain at 20, I do think he'll be the pick, even though I think that the Steelers could get him a little bit later if they decide to trade back and get some more picks from some other teams. And I'll show you that scenario here in just a little bit. In the second round, at pick 51, I've got Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. Now, the Steelers, it really depends on who you want to pair opposite Patrick Queen, because not sure how quickly that you're going to get Cole Holcomb back from injury and Landon Roberts entering the final year of his deal. Quan Alexander is still a free agent, but each of those players had injuries, and you want to make sure that you have someone stout opposite Patrick Queen. I went Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, who is my number one linebacker in this year's class. Jaden Hicks is my next pick at 84 out of Washington State. We know what we have with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Deshaun Elliott signs as the starting strong safety at this point in time, but you get a little bit more depth there. I know DeMonte Casey as well is in the mix there too, but get someone who lets Minkah be Minkah. And Minkah is best as a ball hawk, center fielder, rangy type safety. Get someone who is a sure tackler who can go down in the box. And that's why I picked Jaden Hicks out of Washington State at 84. At 98, Jalen McMillan out of Washington, a prolific passing attack led by Michael Penix this last season. The Steelers, it's been 20 years since they've gone back-to-back drafts without selecting a receiver. Pittsburgh did not select a receiver in the 2023 draft, so I think they get George Pickens and the passing attack some help, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back there. You're loaded at tight end. You've got a two-headed monster in the backfield with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. I think the Steelers still need to get another receiver to complement George Pickens, especially now that Deontay Johnson is in Carolina. We're shoring up the cornerback position as well. That's Kyree Jackson out of Oregon at pick 119. And I really think that you got Dante Jackson opposite Joey Porter Jr. You're hoping Corey Trice Jr. can come back and be healthy and a contributor, say, in a nickel package. But who's going to play in that slot? Who's that fifth DB? What happens when you go to a dime package? What happens when you go up against a potent offense against Baltimore with all of the weapons that the Ravens have? Same can be said about the Cincinnati Bengals. You're going to be playing a lot more nickel and dime package than a lot of people realize. The Steelers play a base 3-4 defense, but Kyree Jackson out of Oregon helps plug in that void a little bit at the cornerback position. You're going to need someone who can come in, play on the inside, play on the outside, and that's why I picked Jackson there. And then Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, younger brother of Christian McCaffrey, comes from a football family, possession receiver, and you get another target for this offense. Steelers have a lot of receivers, but no one that really, really sticks out. And you might say, well, what's the point of drafting a receiver this late anyways? Remember, Puka Nacua for the Rams a year ago was a fifth-round pick. So you get some more receiver depth, and you hope that you hit on either McMillan or McCaffrey to get into the mix for this Steelers offense from the receiver standpoint. Let me remove the lower third. Isaiah Garendo out of Louisville was absolutely explosive. Ran a really fast 40 at the combine, had an impressive vertical leap and broad jump. Maybe he's a third running back. Maybe he's a return man. That's the reason why I picked him there, where you're late in the draft at pick 195 and you just pick best player available. So that's my mock draft if you don't make any trades. Now let me show you the scenario of what happens when you do make trades. And this is where it got fun. So I traded back to pick 23 to select Graham Barton out of Duke. And I get better value there because I get some more picks back. So you address the starting center position at pick 23 instead of pick 20, and you get some more selections in the process. At 51, I address the offensive tackle depth, and I take Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. Reason being, Dan Moore Jr. probably wins that starting job. Say what you want about him. He has a very favorable contract going into the final year of his deal, but this is positioning yourself twofold. If Morgan's the best of the bunch along with Broderick Jones and beats out Dan Morgan, Dan Moore, excellent, right? But if Morgan's ready to go, say at some point in his rookie year, and you can move Broderick Jones over the left tackle position, which the Steelers want to do, it positions you for this potential, the 2024 season, but then 2025 and beyond, of getting depth at that position, because Dan Moore is going to be making more money beyond 2024. The Steelers have him for a really, really favorable deal. I think he's a below average starter in the league, but his contract is just so favorable. And here's what I'm talking about when it comes to Dan Moore. $3.5 million for the 2024 season, and he's a starting left tackle in the NFL. He might be a below average player, but that is a very team-friendly deal. But what do you do beyond this season? That's what I'm looking at, and that's why I go offensive tackle there. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, a playmaker again. Getting in that receiver room, more depth. And when teams stack George Pickens, what's your counter? And this is why I really like Deontay Johnson. But Deontay Johnson, you're paying a premium for, and that's why he gets traded to the Panthers. So the Steelers need some help at their receiver position. You really like what you have with Pickens, who's going to be in year three, your alpha, your number one, your go-to target. But who can win one-on-ones when other teams say, hey, we're going to put a safety over the top and double George Pickens? Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky at 98 was my next pick. And again, getting more cornerback depth. If it's Dante Jackson opposite Joey Porter Jr., who's that nickel cornerback? Who's that dime cornerback? Who can come in and do a serviceable job if you have injuries at that position? You don't want to wish injuries upon anyone. It's a reality of the situation. I got Cedric Gray out of North Carolina at 119, a tackle machine, three consecutive seasons of 100 tackle seasons. And remember, in college, they play fewer games than they do in the pros. He was the one constant of the Tar Heels defense and all ACC selection as well. Look, Gene Chizik might not have a job with the North Carolina Tar Heels as the DC in 2024, but Cedric Gray was not responsible for that. He was all over the field, and he was the one constant for the Tar Heels defense for the last several seasons. At pick 167, I get Tyke Smith, the safety out of Georgia. Again, getting some more positional depth. Find the player who can allow Minka Fitzpatrick to be Minka Fitzpatrick. And here's what I mean by that. Let Minka play the center field position. Get him back to his ball hawking responsibilities as a safety in this league. Minka battled injuries in 2023. he didn't have a single turnover, didn't have a single takeaway. And the year before, he had 6 interceptions. How can you get Minka back in that mix? Got Luke McCaffrey again, getting some more depth at the receiver position. Isaiah Garendo, again, the running back out of Louisville. And then again, with my trade, I get some more picks. MJ Devonshire, how about the cornerback out of Pitt? Familiar with the Pittsburgh Steelers facilities, having played as a member of the Pittsburgh Panthers in college football. A few other players that I picked too that I got via trade. Nelson Ceasar, the edge rusher out of Houston, and then Joe Milton out of Tennessee. I do think the Steelers could look to get another quarterback. Milton has probably the strongest arm in this year's draft, but he'll probably be a third-string quarterback as he starts to learn the ropes of the league for whichever team drafts him, likely on day 3. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to my top quarterbacks in this year's draft. So we've got quarterbacks, then I'll do receivers, corners, and safeties before I get out of here. It's no question, Caleb Williams out of USC is going to be the number one pick to the Chicago Bears. Can make any throws, a playmaker, maybe holds the ball a little bit too long. Maybe he's a little bit loose with the ball, but USC asked a lot of him from this past season. He was the Heisman Trophy winner in 2022 at USC, a prolific talent, and he's as heralded a prospect coming into the NFL as you've seen since like Andrew Luck. Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot of other players that come in with high upside. He is the consensus number one pick. At 2, I'm going Drake May with North Carolina. I think he has prototypical size at the quarterback position. Tez Walker was really his only other NFL player. I suppose I'd put O'Marrion Hampton, the running back, into that mix too. But Tez Walker didn't play for several games in the 2023 season. May also had a new offensive coordinator this past season after his OC in 2022 left to take another job. I've seen other quarterbacks succeed in this league with his build. 6'4", 230 and some change, maybe 220 and some change. He's going to fill out too, can make every throw. I think the leadership characteristics are there. I've got Drake May because I can point to guys like, say, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, who had his build at the quarterback position. May also a 2-year starter at North Carolina, still pretty young as well. So I've seen other quarterbacks of his size and stature. To me, he can make all the throws too. He's my second quarterback. At 3, I've got Jaden Daniels out of LSU. A little bit slight of frame. The knock on him is one read, tuck it, and run. A prolific runner, but he doesn't know how to slide at this point in his career. That's something he's going to have to learn to do, but very slight of frame. Maybe like 6'4", he's tall enough, but like 205, 210, he's going to need to add a little bit of weight. And when you pop on the tape and you see some of the hits that he took, if he takes those hits in the league, he's not going to stay healthy. So he's my number 3 quarterback. Here's what I do think will happen, though. I think it's going to be Williams to the Bears, number 1. I think Daniels goes number 2 to the Commanders. And I think Drake May goes number 3 to the Patriots. If I was the Commanders, I'd take a long look, and I would take Drake May with the second overall pick. But I've got Daniels at 3. At number 4, I've got J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. Similar criticisms that I have is a little bit slight of frame, has the size, but I do think it's those top 3 guys, maybe a shade below with McCarthy, and then everyone else when it comes to this quarterback class. McCarthy wasn't asked to do all of that much at Michigan because of how many stud players that the Wolverines had en route to a national championship. To me, it was, hey, make plays when you need to out of the play action game because Blake Corum and company in the running game are going to control the clock, dominate the line of scrimmage, and keep opposing defenses on the field for long stretches at a time. So to me, McCarthy, we don't really know what we have with him because he wasn't asked to do it all at Michigan, given how many playmakers that the Wolverines had. We'll see. And I think that there's going to be a team where the Arizona Cardinals at number 4, who have the 4th pick, it's going to be really enticing for a team to trade up to 4 with the Cardinals or maybe 5 with the Chargers to go get J.J. McCarthy. I'd like McCarthy heck of a lot more if he were, say, a mid to late first round pick, even a second round pick. But given the need for strong quarterback play, I think McCarthy goes, it's safe to say, top 10. I think a team trades into the top 5, whether it's with Arizona, whether it's with the Chargers. If the Patriots aren't happy with who is left over at 3, depending on the first 2 picks, I could see the Patriots trading back too. But J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan is my 4th quarterback. And I'll go Michael Penix at 5, the lefty out of Washington. The age concerns are there. The knee concerns are there. But in terms of playing at a high ability, to me, he was a prolific quarterback. And playing hurt in that national championship game, I think, speaks volumes to the leadership that he brings to the quarterback position as well. So Michael Penix, who I do think, like, look, that's to where Penix, Bo Nix, do you really want to reach on a quarterback for positional need, say, in the first round, when really maybe they should be a second or third round pick? But Penix rounds out my top five. I've got Caleb Williams, USC. At the second quarterback, I've got Drake May out of UNC. Third, Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Fourth, J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. And fifth, Michael Penix out of Washington. So those are my top five quarterbacks. Let's go to receivers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is the top dog. Didn't participate in any of the process with the combine, with a lot of interviews. He's ready to play football. He's ready to play football. And maybe if his name was different, but the lineage he comes from, the son of Marvin Harrison Sr., the Hall of Fame receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. Here's how I look at Marvin Harrison Jr., though, right? Like, not game-breaking speed, but he's the best player on the field consistently when he steps onto the field. And he had a very productive season for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and he did not have great quarterback play. You have to know where he's at on the field. And we're talking about one of the most heralded receiver prospects that's come in since, like, Calvin Johnson. This receiver class, by the way, is loaded. Marvin Harrison Jr., the top dog for me there. And I can't wait to see which team takes him. I do think he'll go to Arizona with the fourth pick if there aren't any trades. And he'll team up with Kyler Murray in Arizona, barring a trade. That's my prediction there. Second receiver, it's a 2A, 2B. This is so hard for me, but I'm going to do them together because it's what's your flavor, what's your car style choice. And that's Malik Nabers out of LSU, Romo Dunze out of Washington. Nabers, absolute burner, game breaker player. You get the ball in his hands in space. In other years, both Nabers and Odunze would be the top receiver. But there just happens to be Marvin Harrison Jr. ahead of both of them. But Nabers is the Bugatti. He's the game breaker. He's the guy where if you want to break the game open, the speed, it's just absolutely killer. Nabers did not participate at the combine, whereas Romo Odunze did. And this is where you get the size and speed. Odunze is just a tick slower than the fastest receivers in this year's class, but it's not by much. And then when you consider his size, Romo Odunze's size, and you're like, I'm essentially getting the same thing, but he's 6'3", 216, doesn't have A-plus speed or the big playability of Nabers, but like he's going to be an alpha receiver in every other facet of the game. The best receivers don't always run the fastest 40s, but it's still really fast if you're Romo Odunze. So that's why I have him. Again, I'm going to say 2A, 2B, and you could put him in whatever order you want. To me, it's also with your team fit, what other receivers do you have on your current roster? What type of receiver do you need at that position? Do you need another speedster? Do you need another big guy? That, to me, is going to tell the tale of which guy goes first. I think Nabers will go first, just given his tantalizing speed, but they're just both very, very, very talented players. At four, I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr., Nabers' teammate at LSU. And if not for the talent in this year's class, I think Thomas would be an even higher pick. 17 touchdowns. This is Mr. Strike Up the Band. I'm putting six on the scoreboard yet again. And the attention that Nabers draws, he can win one-on-ones. So if Brian Thomas goes to a scenario in the NFL where he's matched up opposite another star receiver, he's going to succeed in this league because of his ability to win one-on-one matchups consistently at LSU. And we may look back on this draft and say, why didn't we think that Bryant Thomas was the alpha compared to Malik Nabers? I could eat my words, but I think those are very, very talented prospects. Thomas, 6'4", 205, just explosive, twitchy, and explosive player. 17.3 yards per catch last year. It's almost two first downs for every time he touches the ball. Big time playmaker. That's Bryant Thomas out of LSU. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, 6'2", 205, a 4.34 in the 40. Tall, nice build, good length, smooth. Just a smooth route runner, and he rounds out my receiver class. If we're throwing other pass catchers in there too, I'll throw Brock Bowers in there out of Georgia, the tight end. But those are my top five receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Dunze, Malik Nabers, again, 2A, 2B. Put them in whatever order you want to. Bryant Thomas out of LSU, and then A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Let's go to the cornerback position. And I'm going to go Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo as my number one corner. He's the most well-rounded corner in this year's draft. Has good size, 6 foot, 196. Also did well on the bench press, is explosive. I think he ran the second fastest 40 among all the other cornerbacks. But this is to where Toledo put him on an island on one side of the field, and they're good. And how he responds even after he gets beat, it's just impressive. But 41 tackles, an interception, 18 passes defended this past season. Ball hawk player. And you can't run against him. He has good positioning in his coverage skills. To me, he's the most well-rounded corner. Whereas there's different styles of corner of the next guy that we'll talk about, and that's Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. 6'2", 185, he's listed at, but at the combine, Wiggins was a lot lighter than that, and he ran a 4.28 in the 40. He only weighed in at the combine. I'm pulling it up there. It was in the 170 range. I want to say it was like 173 or 176. Bear with me here. 173 pounds at the combine. So when he's playing in the league, I think he's going to have to put some weight on. But what Nate Wiggins does is whoever your star receiver is, he's the shadow. He just shadows the other team's best receiver and takes that player away. In terms of the physicality in the running game, that's not Nate Wiggins' game. In terms of if he's got to go up one-on-one against a running back, make a tackle in the open field, that's not what he excels at. What he excels at is he's going to shadow and be in the hip pocket of the other team's opposing star receiver, and he's got prolific speed to be able to do that. 4.28 in the 40, a 36-inch vertical jump, a 10.7 broad jump as well. First-team All-ACC selection, had 9 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, 1 return for a touchdown. That's Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. He's my number two corner. Third, I'll go Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, switched over from safety in college. So to me, he's still learning the cornerback position. Played lots of cover two and man at Bama. Played some in the slot, a willing tacker, and he understands route combinations. 5 interceptions because teams were thrown away from his teammate, Kool-Aid McKinstry, this past season. 61 tackles, and put the camera on Terrion Arnold, a charismatic guy, someone you want to hear from, someone that you can't help but root for. Go look at his interviews at the NFL Combine after his performance, and he still wasn't happy. He understands it's the first step of many along the process of getting selected by an NFL team. I really, really like Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. I really, really do. I really, really do. 6 foot, 189, a 4.5 in the 40. So not the fastest guy in the world, a 37-inch vertical jump. But long arms, ball hawk, and is going to hold himself to a very high standard. Whichever team gets Terrion Arnold is going to get a very good football player. His teammate at Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, ball hawk, willing tacker, struggled a little bit against Texas. Teams threw away from him this past season, though. A technician as well. Excellent technique playing the cornerback position. I don't know how opposing teams threw against the Alabama Crimson Tide this last season. Kool-Aid on one side and Terrion Arnold on the other side. Good luck. Good luck. To round it out, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. He did not participate at the combine. A bit of a Swiss Army knife, 6'1", 205. He'd be the first white cornerback in the NFL since Jason Sehorn about 2 decades ago. but again, didn't participate in the combine drills. Played all over the field, though. Slot, outside, safety, reads route combinations well. Was also the team's punt returner. I don't know if he'll have that ability in the pros, but he was Iowa's punt returner this last season. To me, he lacks explosive speed to be able to run it back for touchdowns, but does a good job, understands positioning well. 6'1", 205, so good size too. That's Cooper DeGene out of Iowa. To round out my top five corners, let me give those to you again. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, Tariana Arnold out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, his Crimson Tide teammate, and Cooper DeGene out of Iowa. Those round out my top five. And then to end things, the safety position. And let me give you the five. Let's rip through them right away. And this is a position where I could see the Steelers drafting, again, to complement Minkah Fitzpatrick. Cameron Kitchens out of Miami, 6'205". His athleticism gives him good range to cover as a single high defender. Miami also used him in the box. This guy is hell going downhill. You pop on the tape and he's headed downhill. Good luck. Cameron Kitchens can fly to the football. I really liked what I saw from him. Number two, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota, a willing tackler and is just always around the football. Forcing fumbles as a tackler too, that's something that can be taught, but as a ball hawk player, I didn't see too much tape from Newbin deep down the field, making downfield passes, but going downhill like Kitchens, I really liked him out of Minnesota. Just always seemed to be around the football. And as a willing tackler, even down on the goal line too. Kalen Bullock out of USC was my third safety, rangy. He's the Minkah Fitzpatrick type. A ball hawk center field guy, 6'3", 190, might need to put on a little bit of weight, but he's a heat-seeking missile when he goes to the football. He does a good job of high-pointing the ball too, reads route combinations well. Plays with a nastiness and a swagger, but again, he's a little bit slight of frame, listed at 190, 6'3", that's good height, but I think he'll need to add a little bit of weight against the NFL's best players to where they'll have a weight advantage on him. That's Kalen Bullock out of USC. I liked what I saw from him on tape. Javon Bullard out of Georgia, 5'11", instinctive, adept at reading routes, strong in zone coverage, shows promise as a man coverage, uses his hand usage well, straight line speed to stay with receivers. That's Javon Bullard, 5'11", 195 out of Georgia. And then Rod Moore out of Michigan. I mean, I could talk till sundown about everything that Michigan did defensively this year. He would round out my top five at the safety position. I don't want to belittle any of these prospects. I will say this. There have been stronger drafts when it comes to the safeties in this year's draft compared to previous years. This is not a deep or a loaded group compared to what we've seen from the safety position in previous drafts. So those are my top five. Let me round through them again. I'll go ahead and wrap the show. So at number one, Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. Two, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. Kalen Bullock out of USC is my third best safety. Javon Bullard out of Georgia. And then Rod Moore out of Michigan. Those are my top five safeties in the 2024 draft. I want to know what you think about how I did with my mock draft. What do you think? Am I spot on? Am I off? I think Graham Barton's going to be the pick at number 20. But can you get better value? Could you trade back to get some more picks to help fill holes, to help get more depth at some position in areas of need if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? Thursday night, I cannot wait. I'll be live on this channel for whoever the Steelers pick at 20, or if they trade up, if they trade back. I do not doubt Omar Khan's ability to be aggressive when it comes to improving this roster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So buckle up, get your popcorn ready. I'm not willing to wish my life away, but I cannot wait for Thursday night. Thank you for watching the Believe in Steelers show. My name's Mark Bergen. If you're watching on YouTube, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, Apple and Spotify, 5 stars and 5 stars only. Go ahead and sign off here. I will see you tomorrow night, Thursday night, round one of the NFL draft. Steelers picking at 20. We'll see what they do. Till then, take care. So long, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.